Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Today is Monday, October 15th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 137, starting with the third paragraph, Nearly Every Modern Employer, reading through five paragraphs, ending with salvaging their sick employees. We will be commenting on all five paragraphs. And today's readers are Nancy T. for the 12 Steps, Reggie O. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Ginger C., Leslie M., and Kathy G. The share ID for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, October 14th, 2018, is 12,041. That's 12041. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID code is 12,042. That's 12042. And our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Catherine. Good morning, everybody. This is Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy. And Reggie O., if you could please read the 12 traditions.
Hey, thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O. in the greater Los Angeles area, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do this morning.
Thank you, Reggio. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter to employers on page 137, starting with the third paragraph. Nearly every modern employer will be reading through 5 paragraphs, ending with salvaging their sick employees, and will be commenting on all 5 paragraphs. And if everyone could mute their phone except for Ginger, and Ginger, if you could please begin reading.
Okay, great. Kathleen, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. So nearly every modern employer feels a moral responsibility for the well-being of his help, and he tries to meet these responsibilities. That he has not always done so for the alcoholic is easily understood. To him, the alcoholic has often seemed a fool of the first magnitude. Because of the employee's special ability or his own strong personal attachment to him, the employer has sometimes kept such a man at work long beyond a reasonable period. Some employers have tried every known remedy. In only a few instances, there has been a lack of patience and tolerance, and we who have imposed on the best of employers can scarcely blame them if they have been short with us. Here, for instance, is a typical example. An officer of one of the largest banking institutions in America knows I no longer drink, and one day he told me about an executive of the same bank who, from his description, was undoubtedly alcoholic. This seemed to me like an opportunity to be helpful. So I spent 2 hours talking about alcoholism, the malady, and described the symptoms and results as well as I could. His comment was very interesting. But I'm sure this man is done drinking. He has just returned from a 3-month leave of absence, has taken a cure, looks fine, and to clinch the matter, the board of directors told him this was his last chance. The only answer I could make was that if the man followed the usual pattern, he would go on a bigger bust than ever. I felt this was inevitable and wondered if the bank was doing the man an injustice. Why not bring him into contact with some of our alcoholic crowd? He might have a chance. I pointed out that I had nothing to drink whatever for 3 years, and this in the face of difficulties that would have made 9 out of 10 men drink their heads off. Why not at least afford him an opportunity to hear my story? Oh no, said my friend, this chap is either through with liquor or he is minus a job. And if he has your willpower and guts, he will make the grade. I wanted to throw up my hands in discouragement, for I saw that I failed to help my banker friend understand. He simply could not believe that his brother executive suffered from a serious illness. There was nothing to do but wait. Presently, the man did slip, and he was fired. Following his discharge, we contacted him. Without much ado, he accepted the principles and procedure that has helped us. He is undoubtedly on the road to recovery. To me, this incident illustrates lack of understanding as to what really ails the alcoholic, and lack of knowledge as to what part employers might profitably take in salvaging their sick employees. Wow, lots of reading this morning. And again, just unbelievable, the words in this book. So, and absolutely, I believe this last sentence. I see it all the time with staff turnover in my own company. And it's expensive. Staff turnover costs a lot of money. You train, you hire, and it takes a lot of time, energy, and again, the dollars that are wasted. So yeah, if these employers could understand and to help these sick employees, it's a lot easier to keep them if they're able to get that help and to make a difference. But I just love what was read, even the paragraphs before, you know, and I see this all the time. In another 12-step room, these people go to treatment centers and they go for 30 days and then they just come home to everything that was with no support. They're not going to meetings. They don't have a sponsor. Are they in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous? And they drink. And this is what happens. So thank God it's a WE program. And thank God that this guy, you know, accepted the principles and the procedure. You know, the principles are our 12 steps. The procedure is the action, you know, following this precise work and staying in it. And we're so blessed as compulsive overeaters to have a vision for you. It is always about a higher power that we lack, because that's our dilemma, is this power that we don't have that has to get in between me and that bite. But it just keeps us on the firing line, engaging and learning this textbook and staying in this book and these directions, because that's where my life lies. You know, this book solves all my problems. But if I'm not doing it and I'm not seeing it, where do I know to go in it, especially when I'm working with others? Because all I do is I direct them to a page and we read it and we get on and get into action. So, you know, it's just, we're so fortunate that it is, again, this WE program, because that situation happens over and over, these people. And, you know, and the employer just didn't understand this twofold nature, you know, and didn't understand the disease and the power of numbers and how together we recover together. You know, I love Roseanne's prayer, you know, we can, together we can do anything. And that we're no longer alone in this pain of this isolation and this eating place. You know, thank God that food has convinced us and brought us to this amazing work, because life does take on new meaning and a much greater meaning. And that meaning is that I care more about you and less about me and my little plans and design. And that is only because of this higher power and this work. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. And again, we are on page 137, the third paragraph, reading through five paragraphs. So who would like to share on those five paragraphs?
This is Laura W.
Laura W.
Carrie S.
Thank you.
Liz T.
Zebra R.
Kathy G.
Okay, we'll start with those five. Let me know if I missed anyone. Laura W., Carrie S., Liz T., Zira R., and Kathy G. So, Laura W., if you want to start, followed by Carrie S.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, this chapter is great. Now, this is about employers trying to explain to other employers how to handle their addict employee. And, you know, it's just so misunderstood. He says, this chap is either through with liquor or he's minus a job. If he has your power and guts, he'll make the grade. You know, threats and ultimatums did not work for me. And I never lost a job because I had to take a leave of absence and go away to treatment, but I surely would have lost the job if I didn't go away. I so many times my boss would come to me and say, you know, what's going on? You're not performing the way that you used to perform. You're not, leaving work exactly when the clock hit 5 o'clock because I had to get to the gym to exercise. Calling in sick, using every single sick day possible so that I could stay home and burn my calories. These things not only were detriments to the company, but they were killing me physically, and emotionally and spiritually. It talks about without much ado, this gentleman accepted the principles and procedure that had helped us. Well, what are those principles and procedures? For me, these are the steps. This isn't abstinence. This isn't sitting in the meeting rooms. All those things are great, and they all enhance my recovery. But, you know, the steps day after day help me to be accountable. They make me a good employee today. They give me responsibility, and they allow me to do the work that's required of me happily and gratefully. And, you know, and also help other people get out of myself. And only another addict I found can help an addict. And that's all that was able to help me. You know, all those idle threats and frothy emotional appeal did not work. So I have to take myself out of the equation when I'm trying to help another person here. And that's what it's trying to tell us here, too. The employer needs to do that as well. I'm grateful today for entire recovery and abstinence one day at a time. I'm certainly not cured, but today I do have neutrality. And that neutrality is a gift from God. God is my employer today, not food, weight, or exercise. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. And Carrie S., you're up next, followed by Liz T.
Good morning. This is Carrie S., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Oh, my gosh, in Golden, Colorado. Thank you, God, for entire abstinence today. Yeah, this reminds me of the line I wanted to talk about. The only answer I could make, if the man followed the usual pattern, he would go on a bigger bus than ever. And in 2012, I was deeply in my disease as a teacher in a Montessori classroom, and I was using all of my character defects to stay afloat because I was really, really struggling. So just my controlling nature in the classroom, just anger with the children, trying to manipulate my principal and not following her instructions. And I didn't have a recovered person to go to. And so I thought it would be clever of me to just be really vulnerable with my principal and explain to her what was going on with me and my illness, which was at the time not the right thing to do because I didn't have a direction from a recovered member at the time. And so openly, you know, talking about my illness was what really got me fired, I believe, in the end. And, you know, today I'm grateful to take guidance from others who have recovered and have the humility to be a beginner every day, open up these pages and try to hear the message that is embedded in this little chip of a book. I'm just so grateful today that I'm not spiritually dead and that I am willing to grow along these spiritual lines. And today I'm gifted with a job that gives me the opportunity to work with others and live this altruistic life. I work with seniors, and when they are sleeping, I'm able to make 12-step calls. My boss knows that I do this work, and she supports that. And so it's such a gift being out of the food today. So if you're still struggling with the food, just know that it is so possible For me, I just had to set aside everything I thought I knew about this book, about my illness, and especially about God, so I can begin to open up to a God-centered life. So grateful for A Vision for You and Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie S. And Liz T., you're up next, followed by Zira R.
Good morning. This is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And thank you, God, for entire abstinence and recovery and everyone doing service on the line. I can relate to this chapter as an employee and as an employer. And today I know that my employer is my higher power, that my business and my dental practice has a higher power and it's not me. But for the past 12 years, I have run my dental practice like I am the king shit of the place. And I need to make all the decisions. And oh my gosh, this is so hard and overwhelming. And thanks to the 12-step recovery program, I'm no longer doing it alone. I have support. I have a sponsor. I have recovered fellows I can call. I have another fellowship that helps me with budgeting and money issues and debt and making decisions, managerial decisions. So part of my spiritual bottom was my struggles in the workplace. So nearly every modern employer feels a moral responsibility for the well-being of his help, and he tries to meet these responsibilities. Okay, as a compulsive overeater and a codependent, I can take that to the extreme where I think I have to take care of employees and nurture them. And, you know, a big part of my journey is identifying what's my job, what's God's job, what's their job, and having some boundaries. And that has been new territory for me, so that I don't have to take everything home from the workplace and take it into my home. I can leave things at the office. So that has been a beautiful gift. I can also relate to taking a 3-month leave of absence on page 138. I have taken a break from my practice and hired other dentists to work for me so that I could have a break. And by golly, the place didn't burn down without me. You know, so that has been a great lesson that God really is in charge and really has the best intentions for any organization. There can be dysfunction and, you know, calamities in any workplace. And I think if I just keep close to my higher power, keep doing his work, you know, this guy went out and did 12-step work. He wanted to be helpful. He explained to this guy about the malady. What does that mean? Well, the doctor's opinion. He talked to him about the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body and how hopeless and powerless me as an addict felt. So I can take that into my workplace. How can I be helpful today, God? Show me the next right thought or action. Help me be useful. How can I be an example, a demonstration of this work? How can I be a demonstration through me, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk, and principles over personalities also is a big part of my work day. We're all struggling in different ways, and I have to remember that clients, patients, and coworkers are struggling in their own way, and we're all doing our best. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz T. And Zira R, you're up next, followed by Kathy G. I believe it was Zira R.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. So, hi, my name is Ziva R, and I'm in recovery from Los Angeles. And thank you so much for being there. I am on my way to work to facilitate a workshop, and this paragraph just brought back, you know, all the years. I've been abstinent now for 10 and a half years, and prior to that, I would miss so many days of work. I would not show up for commitments because I was too hungover from my last night binge. And I am so eternally grateful that for the last 10 years, I did not have to postpone or to not stick to any commitment, whether it was in my personal life or whether it was in my professional life. And I know that if I do today what I did yesterday, I will be able to show up today and tomorrow for whatever commitment comes. So these paragraphs just really were wonderful to hear on my way to this workshop. So thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Ziva R. And Kathy G., you're up next. And after Kathy, we will take some more names. Again, we're on page 137, the third paragraph, starting with nearly every modern employer, reading through five paragraphs, ending with salvaging their sick employees. So Kathy G., go ahead, please.
Thanks, Kathleen. It's Kathy G., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater from Illinois. And Team Monday is wide awake this morning. Great meeting so far. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. I focused in on this line. This incident illustrates lack of understanding as to what really ails the alcoholic and lack of knowledge as to what part employers might profitably take in salvaging their sick employees. And it just speaks to just the sense of powerlessness that people have, in this case, employers, of knowing what to do with this person. And I think that comes from a few lines earlier where it says, he simply could not believe that this brother executive suffered from a serious illness. I think it's really hard for people to understand alcoholism and compulsive overeating as an illness. It was hard for me to understand about myself. And I've been delving into my recovery, you know, since, 1980 probably. And it was just when I got into Vision and really got into picking this book apart that I recognized, oh my gosh, even when I was free from the purging part of bulimia, I couldn't stay stopped with certain foods and behaviors because I have a serious illness. And so I think part of our responsibility as recovered people is to be recovered and be a living testament to the power of recovery from this illness when we take away the addictive substances and when we're freed from the mental obsession. I think this could also speak to family members and friends. Imagine how difficult it is. And for them, if they don't have the issue, it's so hard for them to understand. Like, why can't you just put that down? You know, to this day, well, I don't really notice so much what people eat anymore, but it never fails to amaze me when I'll see like a cocktail glass half full or I'll see, you know, a piece of cheesecake or something and just notice afterwards, wow, they can just eat half a piece. And it boggles my mind. But for them, I really believe the reverse is true. They do not understand that this is an illness. So very grateful today to be accepting my illness and to know that I have a solution here with you, listening, learning, growing, and tools to live by that really do work. So, thank God. Thank God for this program. Hope you all have a great day. Love you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. And we'll now open the line again for anyone who wants to share on those five paragraphs, starting at page 137, the third paragraph. Who else would like to share?
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Suzanne B.
Suzanne B.
Leslie M.
Leslie M.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Was it Patty?
Patty T.
Okay, and Wendy M. Can take a couple more.
Cindy D.
Cindy G as in George.
D as in David.
Okay, let's stop there. So we have Lisa J.R., Suzanne B., Leslie M., Patty T., Wendy M., and Cindy D. So Lisa J.R., go ahead, followed by Suzanne B.
Good morning, everybody. It's Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you all so much for being here. And moderator, thank you for your service. Love, and I know that it's been repeated and repeated, but I'm so grateful that we're studying these chapters that oftentimes get overlooked. And the one thing I love about them is that they apply in so many ways, because they're about relating to others. They're about, you know, whether it's your boss, whether it's your employer, these are all about relating to people. And that's a problem we have when we come into this program, because we're so deep into the food that those skills, those people skills, are sometimes so badly tarnished that we, you know, we're a mess. So we need all the help we can get. And even in recovery, you know, I tend to have those things crop up over and over again with certain people. And one of the blessings that being recovered, you know, we're able to help people in these positions relate, even though they can't relate in, we can help explain as recovered people and as recovering people, we can help them relate to the people that may be in their world, in their sphere of influence that they're having trouble with. You know, I recently was able to pour into a friend that is a big manager at work, and she has been struggling with alcoholism, and you know, she related about the people that she has, that she's not overweight, and she says, well, you know, there's so many people. And I said, I venture to guess in your break room you have a lot of donuts. And she said, oh yeah, cakes, donuts, you name it. And I said, well, you know, if you can relate to this, you would not have bottles of beer in the refrigerator for the employees. You know, so it's, you know, I got to help her understand just a little bit what it was like for the compulsive overeater. And thankfully, she has told me that her employees are in better stead, because she has made the snack room a healthy, sugar-free environment. Although she does not struggle with it, she now knows that people that get sugared up, you know, with donuts and other garbage, are going to spike and then they're going to fall. And she is really amazed at the difference, and it's made her a better manager. So, you know, we always have an opportunity to be of maximum service to others. And in this way, relating in, helping the employers relate in, or the people of influence that call the shots, the bosses, the leaders, you know, to relate in that these people are struggling every bit as much as the drug addict and compulsive overeater.
Fine, please.
I'm so grateful. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. And Suzanne B., you're up next, followed by Leslie M. Suzanne B., star one to unmute.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thanks, everybody, for being here this morning. So what was being read in the big book this morning made me think about how important it is to have a sponsor to discuss talking to an employer or someone who's using, whether it's in a company or whether it's outside of the company, even if it's in a meeting. And I always want to remember that I want to be open to sharing my story with others when it's appropriate. And in Bill's story, it discusses a variety of people who, no matter how far they've fallen down, they relapse. And where I go is, what do I do with disappointment when I'm bothered with someone who I want ideally to work a 12-step program, and they don't do it? What do I do with that? And I go to doing a 10th step. Because if I'm bothered with an employer, if I'm bothered with a company, if I'm bothered with someone else, that's what I want to do. And I also want to further my belief in step 3 and allow my higher power to be the ultimate employer and to be the director of this situation and any other. And that's why I want to have a sponsor, and I want to have a community to support me, because disappointment can open the door for my spiritual malady. So thanks for letting me share this morning.
Thank you, Suzanne B. Leslie M., you're up next, followed by Patty T.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen O., for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Long Island, New York. And this reading today is having me think of, that I was lucky to never be fired from a job because my performance was horrible, especially in the later years of my employment because, the need for food got greater and greater. But the other thing that it also makes me think of is when he says here, I wanted to throw up my hands in discouragement for I saw that I had failed to help my banker friend understand. And that reminds me so much of all I can do is try and carry the message that I'm not responsible for how the other person receives it, whether they be a compulsive overeater or someone that has no experience at all with any disease of addiction, that in order, I can share, all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope, honestly. And after that, I have to just know that, everything is in God's time. The other thing it reminds me of course, is that I'm not responsible. I'm not in charge, and I can't control these things. And it just reminds me to keep my higher power very close so that I can, be making good choices with God's help. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. Patty T., you're up next, followed by Wendy M.
Hi. Happy Monday, everybody. This is Patty T., recovered in Southern California. Wow, these paragraphs, boy. I was a compulsive overeater actively throughout most of my adult life. In fact, all of my adult life until the age of 51. And I can only imagine what my employers must have felt dealing with this really erratic and really angry woman because, as I mentioned before on these meetings, sugar alters my personality and I become a rager. And for some reason, and only by the grace of God, as far as I can tell, these employers kept me. They kept me on staff in spite of my moods. But here's the thing. When I see this line here, when the other gentleman says, this chap is either through with liquor or he's minus a job, if he has your power, your willpower and guts, he can make the grade. That is so often what I come into contact with other people outside the program regarding people with, this disease, that they consider it willpower. They'll even say to me, your willpower is great. And I'll say, no, I don't have enough willpower. I don't have enough willpower. I have to get that power from somewhere else. And I'll laugh and sometimes they want to talk about it and sometimes not. But they always get that look like what? Because they don't understand the spiritual malady. And I don't know that I could ever explain it to them. Just like I can't explain that to a sponsee. We either go to God or we don't go to God. We either find a higher power or we don't. And I can relate my experience, but that's all I can do. I can actually loan out my God. I have done that before, if they don't have one. But honestly, I just love these words because it really shows me that we really live in a them and us society today, and we are weak. There is no them and there is no us. We are just part of, and that really is inclusive, and that really makes me feel good. And that's the way I choose to live today, and that's my commitment today. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Cindy D. Wendy, star one to unmute.
Okay, great. Sorry about that, Kathleen. Oh, thanks for your service. It's Wendy M. in recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So what I noticed a few things that were interesting. One is this theme of get me, understand me, right? So I'll be at a restaurant, and my brother will say, you have such good willpower. And I'll get enraged. It's like, no, don't you understand? Didn't you read the big book with me? Didn't you like follow up with everything that's about me? You better understand me, get me, all that me stuff. So in the beginning, that happened a lot. Or people would say, of course they say you have good willpower. Or the other thing was, you know, I was crazy. Like when I first was in this room, in these rooms, I lost a lot of weight. So I looked fine. They talk about that. She looks fine, you know. So of course there's misunderstanding. Like they didn't know I was still nuts, you know, abstinently nuts. And not even abstinent, thought I was abstinent. But the point is, no one has to understand this. Like I need to understand this, right? This is like my part is that I've got a program and that I have a spiritual malady and that I have these directions which tell me exactly what to do. So you know, wanted to start with that. And then the other, and then also just looking fine. Like somebody said in the earlier meeting this morning, like, you know, if I had bottles of beer in the classroom, there may be some problem, but donuts is not a problem, even though I was higher than a kite, right? So that's, you know, as has been said, you know, food's okay. In fact, it's encouraged and large portions are encouraged and things like that. So, but again, going back to me, I have a spiritual malady. That's my job to address that with God's help. And then the other thing is just as an employee, I was like, what am I even doing here? You know, the rules don't apply to me. Why do I have to be here? I don't need to work. You know, I lived in a fantasy life. You know, I wasn't grounded. You know, gravity didn't occur to me at all. And in my head, I didn't have to be there. But the way I got through it, of course, like most people on the line, is just nonstop eating. I didn't stop eating from the minute I got there to the minute I got home. And then I kept eating, I'm sure. You know, I had to have that party in my mouth at all times to avoid any feelings that may be coming up as an employee. You know, and I've done tons of amends on stealing time, you know, on getting there late. Because what's the difference in getting there, you know, getting there late, leaving early, what's the difference? Really not doing the job. You know, and I just want to share some hope for folks who are struggling. Recovered means, you know, we don't think the way we thought, we don't eat the way we thought, we don't behave the way we behaved. And the good news today is I'm not that person. I'm not even close to being that employee anymore. I show up for a job and the first thought is, how can I be of service? What can I bring to the occasion? What do I have to give? Thank you, God, for those thoughts because they turn me around every time. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy M. And Cindy D., you're up next.
Good morning. This is Cindy D., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. And I relate so much to all of what's been said today, both from an employee perspective as well as from a manager perspective. And thanks by the grace of God that as an employer, I was able to have compassion with the associates of mine that were struggling. And, you know, I was thinking that I'd never been fired from a job, but twice in my career, I've been laid off. And when I got honest in my fourth step, I could see that, you know, toward the end of my time with those employers, I had started to check out, withdraw, and kind of slack off. Much like what you read in the big book, I was somebody who was great at starting things but never finishing them. So one of the things I'm trying to do now, or I am doing now as part of my living amends, is showing up for my mother-in-law, who I'm a caretaker for. And I'm actually getting great joy from doing that. And I am consistently showing up and thinking of her and being of service. So I'm very grateful for that. And the last thing I wanted to mention was as I was doing my amends, one of my brothers who I was speaking to started asking me questions about 12 steps and asking me what it meant and how he could support one of his employees that was struggling. So it's just a great reminder of the opportunities we all have to give service and to be of maximum service every day. And I'm really thankful that you're all here. This is my first time sharing on this line, and I really appreciate it and hope everybody has a great day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing, Cindy D. Okay, we have time for about two more people. Anyone else like to share on these five paragraphs?
Sarah N.
Sarah N. Anyone else?
Okay. Joanne D.
Joanne D. Okay, Sarah N., go ahead.
Hi, this is Sarah N., Gratefully Recovered in Northern California. Thank you so much for your service. And all the shares have just been phenomenal. I've just been saying amen to everything. So I'm recently recovered. I've been in addiction since June. And this takes me back to, I'm in a new job, just beginning week four. And when I think back to last year at this time, the job that I was in, my, you know, and in the disease, my obsession was with my coworkers and others and the, like what they were doing or not doing and judging them. And even though I'd been in OA for like 6 years, I just kept taking their inventory and they were the problem and it wasn't me. And it was really through working the steps, you know, with the vision sponsor and through this that I finally was able to get recovered and to really see my part and now understand how I can be not obsessed with others, but be of service to others. And number one, like how I can be a better employee by just showing up and doing my job and not focusing on other people's jobs. It's a very different experience. I'm just eternally grateful for my higher power who has given me the strength to A, put the food down, to get abstinent, to stay abstinent, to do the work, and to be a better employee. And I look forward, you know, to having the courage to being able to discuss this with, you know, when the time is right and that I'm inspired with the people I work with, because I'm working in the HR department of a large union organization. And I've already just kind of heard, you know, the challenges. I can hear the challenges that people have that may also be suffering in the disease. So grateful for the instructions, for, again, in all parts of our lives that we can go to this book and it has instructions for how to handle all these different situations. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Sarah N. And Joanne, I didn't get your last initial, but go ahead.
This is Joanne B. from Texas. Thank you so much for everyone's comments. And I just wanted to say it's good to be back. I haven't been able to be on the line for a while. And for y'all to please pray for me. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, Joanne. Does anyone want to do a 1.5 minute share? It's a quiet Monday.
This is Penny C.
Penny C?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. You have about
one minute and a half. Okay, thank you so much. I would just like to say, I'm so glad that we're reading these chapters. You know, it's the sharing has been so much more than I had anticipated in reading these chapters, you know, because I think what we've been taught to do and we all seem to be doing it is identifying. I was taught from the very beginning, you know, that when I read the big book, when I'm doing, you know, any step work, that my job is to identify and recover, identify and recover using the steps. And so I, you know, there's a saying that more will be revealed. And boy, as I'm listening to now this chapter to the employer, I'm seeing that I have more work to do. You know, at my age and having been around for so long, it's actually, I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, I'm still teachable. I'm still ready to improve and with that comes more conscious contact with my higher power. So I'm really grateful that we're doing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C., and thank you everyone who shared this morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Leslie M., will you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Leslie M. from Long Island, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.